Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
It is Friday, December 10th, TGIF, motherfuckers. It is the weekend. Really excited for the weekend. First weekend without Army-Navy. Army-Navy tomorrow,
yes, sir.
Isn't it? Let's go. I forgot about it. Army-Navy, one of the coolest games. And by the way, bucket list item. I haven't been. I need to go. Army-Navy is tomorrow, and boy. It's a different
special
game. It's an entirely different game because you know what all those men go through. I mean, they are not college athletes, right? They are military athletes, and there's a difference. Like I don't even know what they do. I mean, they do shit that college athletes don't have to do, normal citizens don't have to do, and obviously pledge of service after they're done. So shout out to the Army, Navy, veterans, current active military, and also the Army Navy football players, because they go through what college athletes go through plus the military stuff. So shout out to them. Want to mention, we got our merch giveaway. We're not going to pick a winner today because I didn't realize there was there's like a delay in how these reviews get posted. So I appreciate everybody DMing us on Menace to Sports and showing us your reviews. Now they're starting to pop up, you know, freaking 4 days later, 3 days later. Mm-hmm. So we appreciate the 5-star reviews. We're trying to crack the top 100 in sports shows in the world. We're right on the outside of 100. We hover around 125 to 150 constantly. So the more reviews we can get, if you listen to the whole show, that helps. And also just tell people about it, text it to people, and social media is huge. Tweet about it, whatever you do, please just help us grow. So that's going on. We're going to do the merch giveaway on Monday morning. Be a nice way to start a Monday. And then if you could leave us a 5-star review with a question, we will have – we're going to go through the mailbag today. We're also going to do a
Twitter spaces. Yep.
Twitter spaces this afternoon, probably around 2 or 3. We will tweet it out and announce it, but look for that.
So turn your notifications on. So you get it kind of, you know, when we're going live, and then, you can literally live ask us questions. We want to have conversations with you guys. We just want to hear from you, on this fine Friday. So if you don't get off till 5, just fuck your job and come hang out with us for a little bit. I promise.
Absolutely. Just, you know, procrastinate, jump on a Twitter space with us. We will be there this afternoon. I'm thinking around 3 o'clock, but, we will tweet that info out. So go to follow at Menace Sports on Twitter. Click the little bell. There's a little bell. You click it, and it you get notifications. So we will disclose that information later. Also, Zone 6 Fund is popping the squares. I didn't pull it up. I think we have 7 squares left. So if you want a square, $100 to Camera Media on Venmo, or shoot me an email, Zach@Menace Sports. But I got killed last night in my parlay, Chris, and it didn't go well. I had two parlays. The one I put out on the show, obviously, and then I had a 5-leg parlay that missed because the Blue Jackets lost in a shootout, which is just brutal. But my the Dallas Stars, man, they went into LA and got smoked 4-0. So not a great day for the gambling world. But as with all gamblers, I have a new parlay for you, the MyBookie Parlay of the Day. And surprisingly, I think it was Tampa Bay Lightning was my underdog yesterday in my 5-leg parlay, and they hit. But I got a parlay for you. It's a three-leg parlay. I usually stick to 2-leggers, but this one's a 3-legger because I wanted to throw the Panthers in because the Coyotes are awful. It's $250 to win $530. So go to MyBookie, use promo code Menace. If you haven't signed up yet, you can get a free deposit match. And I'm riding the Vegas Golden Knights, Washington Capitals at home versus Pittsburgh, and then the Florida Panthers because the Coyotes are absolutely dog shit. So Capitals at home versus Penguins is my most nervous play, but I got to ride with the Caps at home. I got to, and I hate the Penguins, although they are a decent hockey team, but that's what I'm riding with. I'm going Vegas Golden Knights, Washington Capitals at home, and the Florida Panthers to beat the dog shit Coyotes. There you go. $250 to win $530. If you didn't get a chance yesterday, you got to go back. I mean, pause this right now. go back and listen to the episode with the real coach, JB, Netflix, Last Chance U's Finest. My guy, the slapdick.
Legend.
Fucking hilarious, man. When he was talking about mental health, I almost spit out the coffee I was drinking. He was talking about, motherfucker, you don't wake up and choose mental health. Like, oh, I got mental health today. I was crying.
And he has a, you know, he told us what NCAA really stands for. So just that soul alone is definitely worth the listen. Hell of a dude, man. Hell of a fucking show, too.
Entertaining. That's for sure. He's an entertaining dude, without a doubt. But man, you talk about, and I didn't watch it. I refused to watch it. I boycott it. And if you guys watch it, shame on you, because you're feeding the beast. I didn't watch the award shows. Didn't want to watch the award shows. Don't agree with the award shows. I saw you just, all you have to do is look at like who votes on the Biletnikoff, who votes on the Heisman. And it's all these sports media fucking dweebs. And you're like, what are we doing? I mean, it's, I think the one thing that was, it's just shocking, right? It's all shocking. Like you look at some of these awards, right? Like Will Anderson won the Bronco Nagurski Award, which is well-deserved, right? Well-deserved. But for some reason, Aiden Hutchinson is in the
Heisman,
in New York City at the Heisman Trophy ceremony. Like Aiden Hutchinson didn't win a single award last night. And I'm not saying he probably deserved to win an award last night, but it's just like, what the fuck are we doing? Like these people are going to New York City for the Heisman Trophy when there's a deserved candidate out there, two of them, right? That are just nowhere to be found.
Yeah, and I mean, they won awards Will Anderson. Last night. Will Anderson has more sacks than Hutchinson from the linebacker position. Like he's number one in the nation in sacks.
I can't understand it, and I don't know what it is now. And obviously the biggest snub, and I'm here for it because we got the Menace Awards coming up after bowl games when you should decide awards. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I even need to disclose who the receiver of the year is going to be. It damn sure is not going to be Jordan Addison, who gets 100 million balls thrown at him. He had 93 catches this year. Jameson Williams had 68 or something like that. And had similar stats. It's just, it's a joke. The whole awards system is a joke.
Yeah, and you know, the kid earned an invite, earned all that. But to be the Biletnikoff Award winner, like, holy shit, I was talking to you a little bit off air. I mean, this is going to be brought up for a long time. Like, this is such a gross error on the Biletnikoff. It's alarming that this many media people made this kind of mistake. Because now, for the future, at least for the couple years, when you bring up Jameson Williams and his college accomplishments, and when he's in the NFL balling, they're talking about, oh, yeah, he didn't win the Biletnikoff because, you know, so-and-so won. And it's going to be like, oh, my gosh. Just because I'm a nerd, it reminds me of when Steve Nash, a great player in his own right, won the two MVPs. But now whenever you talk to a real hoop head about those MVPs, it's like, no. Kobe should have won those. Like those, like he didn't deserve that. And it's got to be embarrassing for the, I mean, it's embarrassing for me as a college football guy. I feel like I should, you know, fill out an application to, you know, get a vote because it's pretty bad at this point. I just don't understand. If all your media is going to do is look at the stats, you had the most catches, you had the most this, the most that, and not watch film, then fuck it. Break the whole thing down. Don't turn it on. It's all garbage. You know, we had one listener ask if it's rigged or what's going on. No, it's just garbage. I mean, we have these garbage media people who are absolute idiots who somehow, some way botched the Biletnikoff, which was, to be honest, maybe the easiest award to get right, and yet still, here we are.
I mean, honestly, the Davey O'Brien Award was probably the Biletnikoff Award were the two easiest ones for me, and the Doak Walker Award. Those three were home runs, right? You couldn't fuck those up, but they managed to. And I will say this before I go on my soapbox and go on my little rant here. I had a couple people on Twitter be like, man, like don't do that. Like Jordan Addison doesn't deserve that. Like the criticism, I guess, or the opposite take. And my response to you is this: fuck off. First of all, kiss my fucking ass. Second of all, I didn't choose to do this. People that voted Jordan Addison to win the Biletnikoff, they are who you should say, don't do that to that kid. Don't put him up there. Cause then people that actually know what the fuck they're talking about, like me, are going to address it because they chose him as the best receiver in the country. I didn't choose him as the best receiver in the country. So now, I'm sorry, Jordan Addison, they did this to you, but this is a joke. It is completely, entirely a joke. I have evaluated, coached, developed receivers at the highest level possible for 15 years. So I kind of know what I'm talking about in this one space. I may be an idiot in everything else. This is one space that I am an expert in. And Jordan Addison would not even start at Ohio State. He would be at best, wide receiver 3 at Alabama. At best. He's not better than Mechie. He's not better than Jameson Williams. He's not better than Jackson Smith and Jigba. He's not better than Garrett Wilson. He's not better than Chris Olave. He's probably not better than a couple backups at both.
He's not better than Jordan Bell.
It's criminal how they do this bullshit, and it's all based on stats. He had more catches. That's what it's based on. Have you seen the defenses in the ACC? Have you seen the ACC in general? I mean, it's comical. When you look at who they played, Clemson and Wake Forest were their two claims to fame. They're awful on defense. Awful. And you look at, I mean, his stats are great. I mean, they throw him the ball 132 times. That's how many times they threw him the ball. 132 times this year. He had 93 catches. 132. That is over 10 times a game they throw him the football. Think about that. When you look at Jameson Williams, who's going against the best secondaries in the country, they are. The SEC has the best corners in the United States of America. Jameson Williams is eating on those corners every week. Just took Georgia. After the Georgia game, I am shocked that people are this fucking dumb. But I'm not. Because you look at who votes on it. Around Columbus, these sports writers and people that go to Ohio State for media day and do interviews. It's like, how the fuck are these people qualified to make this evaluation and decision? And it goes back to what I said. Josh Pate on the Late Kick came out and said, and it's absolutely true. I need a test, an aptitude test. You need to prove to me that you are a competent football mind, that you know what you're talking about, and you can actually vote with some expertise, with some knowledge, not just, well, that guy at Pitt's pretty good. Look at how many catches he has. Rum, rum, rum. Let me get my donut and my coffee. Like, it's absurd. It is absolutely absurd that these clowns get to vote for shit like this. Heisman Trophy, Biletnikoff, you name it. This college football is a fucking train wreck, and it's because of shit like this. We got energy CEOs deciding who's in a playoff. We got fucking sports writers in Columbus deciding who's the best receiver in the country. Like, what is this? I would rather leave it up to the fans. Make it a fan vote. Because at least the fans consume college football. I'm not even going to call a guy out because I can't even think of a guy that I want to call out. But a local sports media person in Columbus, how many games do you think he's watched of Trey McBride from Colorado State? What do you think, Chris? How many games?
The answer is zero.
Yeah, big fat fucking donut like he eats every morning. Yep. Zero. I have. I know Trey McBride. I know Steve Adazio. I've watched Colorado State. That kid won the Mackey Award. He's a great player. He shouldn't have won it. Brock Bowers should have won it, but never mind that. He's a freshman. I get it. Trey McBride is a great player, so I'm glad he won it. I wanted him to win it. But if we're talking about who's the best tight end in college football, Brock Bowers was. Sorry, he just was. But I don't know. I kind of do this for a living, right? I kind of watch all this shit for a living. I have my entire life, really.
Straight up. And Jordan Addison has over 20 more catches than Jameson. Over 20 more catches. He's up in the 90s in catches. And has about 30 more yards, Zach.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that says it all.
I mean, James is averaging 21 yards every time he catches the ball.
Yeah, it's unreal what Jameson Williams is doing. And it's like, that's one of the awards that you feel like can't get messed up. And yet here we are, completely botched and fumbled.
It's just absurd. Jameson Williams scores a touchdown every 4.5 catches.
Unbelievable.
If you give him 5 catches, he's guaranteed to give you 7 points. Think about that. I mean, it's just in the SEC, it's nuts. It's just nuts how this all went down. And I mean, you go through the awards, and I mean, most of them got it right, right? Maxwell Award, Bryce Young, Walter Camp, Kenneth Walker, the Coach of the Year, Luke Fickell. Like, those are all no-brainers. Jim Thorpe Award to Kobe Bryant, the corner from Cincinnati. I mean, he's not the best corner in the country. I'll tell you that right now. He benefited going against the AAC. Indiana, so Ty Frohfreigel, or whatever the hell his name is, Frohfreigel.
Ty.
And then Notre Dame doesn't have a receiver that any of us have ever even heard of. So he didn't go against any receivers, but he's a really good player. Bryce Young won the Davey O'Brien, absolutely. Tyler Lindenbaum, the center from Iowa, won the Remington. We called that. Lou Groza Award, my guy, Ruggles with the tuggles on the balls, man. He missed out. Michigan gets another dub. I mean, Ohio State took another L. I don't have the stats, but I know that the Moody kid at Michigan missed one more field goal. And I don't know what they look at. Like, how do you give a guy the best place kicker award if it's not based on stats? Like, honestly, all you do as a place kicker is kick it through uprights. So whoever made all their kicks, like, they should win it, right?
Yeah, that should be the one that you exclusively look at the stats for.
I mean, I don't know what else. What else are you evaluating? Like, his leg swing? Like, here's what I want to know. Are they going in and looking at his times? Like, how fast his get off is on field goals? Like,
his kicker celebration.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, what's his celebrations? I don't do kickoffs count? I don't know. Because this kid, Jake Moody, missed two field goals this year. Mm-hmm. Noah Ruggles missed one. So I don't know what else. What are we looking at here? Like, he's got a stronger leg, like how far they were. Maybe they look at like how far the field goals were.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. And it's not like they play in really different conditions. They play in the same conditions, you know?
I honestly can't figure it out. I really can't. I mean,
I don't know what the fuck's going on, dog. It's college football.
I mean, it's just wild. So that kid, Moody, wins the kicker award, I guess, because, and it's probably because the Michigan beat Ohio State. So they're like, oh, well, that was the better kicker. They won. It's
yeah, like, okay. Yeah.
N'Kobe Dean, who I absolutely agree with this pick, the Butkus Award, best linebacker in college football. He is a stud. Kenneth Walker won the Doak Walker Award. Addison, we talked about. We don't need to go down that road again. Trey McBride won the Mackey Award. I think that's excellent. He's definitely one of the top two or three tight ends in the country. I don't know that he's better than Brock Bowers, but he's probably a better overall player. I mean, he's a better blocker. I mean, Brock Bowers is more like a big receiver, which traditionally the wins. Mackey Award goes to those type of players, right? Like, what's his name? Who's the kid that went from Florida went to the Falcons?
Oh, Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, Kyle Pitts. Like, that's just a big receiver. Don't call him a tight end. So I would say they got that right. And I think that's awesome for Trey McBride and awesome for Colorado State. And then Jordan Davis won the Outland Trophy. He's a stud. And you also, you missed me with this bullshit. People are pulling up the Jordan Davis clips against Alabama where he's just like standing there. People don't realize Alabama's going tempo and wouldn't let him sub out. And the big motherfucker was tired. Like, he was exhausted, blown out. So let's not act like that means he's not a great player. He's a disruptive son of a bitch that is, I mean, a monster.
Yeah, he allows Georgia to do so much because he's able to eat up consistently two at a time.
Yeah, he's a stud. And then Will Anderson won the Nagurski, which is great. And then we could go through the rest of these, like, whatever.
I can't wait to do the Menace Awards, dog.
Yeah.
Look, it's crazy that they do these before, like, the bowl games and all that, because it's like, what if you were in school and they told you they were going to give you your final grade before you took your final exam?
Yeah, it's nuts.
Like, that's nuts. Like, how fucking stupid is that?
It's so stupid. And then academic Heisman's important, right? Charlie Kolar from Iowa State. And then Josh Gattis wins the Broyles Award. Mm-hmm. How about that? Talk about the difference in a year, right? And I would say that the only thing that makes sense is that Jim Harbaugh left him alone, right? Yep. Because what I've seen from Josh Gattis prior to this year was complete incompetence. That's what the product was on the field. You know, you can never know for sure unless you're in the meeting room with him, if it's the coach or if it's, you know, what the reason is. But his product on the field was complete incompetence. Mm-hmm. And this year it's not at all. I mean, some of the stuff he's doing is awesome. And my only explanation would be that Jim Harbaugh finally realized he was fucking the whole thing up and he stepped his ass out of the offensive meeting room and let Josh Gattis run his shit.
Yeah, finally. I mean, he had to wait till, of course, like guys like Donovan Peoples-Jones and all them skated. But yeah, finally let him run it. And honestly, it's funny because we got some third base problems from Jim Harbaugh because Gattis might end up, you know, he's a candidate now for a head coaching position just after 1 year of Harbaugh getting the fuck out of his room.
Yeah, it's bizarre what's going on at Virginia. I don't know if people are following it, but apparently them, Duke, and I think there's one other one, have all offered Tony Elliott, the OC at Clemson, their head coaching position. And so he's got like these, it's almost like a commitment. He's got like hats on the table and he's got to pick one.
And I think he has the Oklahoma, you know, an offer from Oklahoma as well.
Oh, to be the OC?
Yeah,
probably. I'm sure. But he's gone either way. He's out of Clemson. Mm-hmm. So Dabo loses his athletic director, both coordinators in 1 year. Watch out now. Clemson, you talk about on thin ice, that motherfucker might implode on Dabo's ass. Clemson hasn't lost a coach in I don't know how long. They lost Jeff Scott to USF and their offense went to shit. So maybe that's indicative of what's to come.
Man, NIL kind of neutralizes a New Spring Church down there. Now New Spring Church means very little.
Very little. Very little. So, but it's interesting. So Tony Elliott has these jobs and Virginia is one of them. And what I've heard is Virginia is ready to move on Josh Gattis if Tony Elliott doesn't pick them. It's just weird. So Josh Gattis might be the head coach of Virginia moving forward. Yeah. Would be awesome for him. And it'd be a big loss for Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Big time loss. And I do want to stick on coaches and moving and all that. I was after listening to the show with you and JB, I was thinking about the transfer portal a good amount. And you know what the most, you know, one of the dangerous things about this, well, I think it's worse than NFL free agency, worse than NBA free agency, is these kids can go get $1 million and then they're not locked in for any amount of time. Like, no, it's like they're permanent free agents throughout the season. So they can come get their money and they're still not held down to an establishment. And that is where the NCAA made this way worse than it had to be.
Yeah, like, no doubt. I mean, I talked to a friend of mine who works for Rick Reichert, and he called me because he said, I'm like a repo man right now. I'm driving to pick up Quinn Ewers' truck right now. I was like, what in the world? He said the kid's parents flew into town. They were packing up all his stuff to leave Ohio to go back to Texas and figure out where he was going to go. And so the dealership was sending someone there to repo. I mean, you know.
Just like go get it back.
Yeah, go get it back because it was just like a rental, right? Mm-hmm. It's like a lease. When you get those dealer cars, like you don't own them. They basically just say, hey, you can drive this. And, you know, in 6 months, maybe we'll swap it out because they don't want you to put a ton of miles on it because they still want to sell it as new. Mm-hmm. So Quinn got his truck repoed back to the Reichert Automotive, whatever. And, it's wild. It's
like
wild.
In the NFL, if you are a free agent and you go somewhere, you are signed to a multi-year deal. If you're one of these big money guys, so you get your money and you're locked in and they can coach you harder. Of course you can demand a trade and all that, but you are tied to that franchise with this NIL stuff and the transfer portal stuff. It's like, you aren't tied to anything.
Yeah. So the NIL thing is interesting, right? Because it's all going to be based on you know, your value, your star power. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be different levels of it, right? Like if you're Quinn Ewers, you got this huge contract for some national kombucha company or whatever the hell it's called. They don't really give a shit where you play. They just want you to be a big, big name, big story and want to see you drinking their kombuchis.
Right. Because you're an influencer now.
Yeah. They don't care where you are. But if you're Rick Reichert, I mean, shit, you're dealerships are in Columbus. You're not going to give a truck to Texas's quarterback, right?
Right.
So those regional and local deals are where it's at. And the other side of this is the slush funds that I've been talking about for 6 months. Those slush funds now are salaries, right? Well, you give a guy a salary, maybe a signing bonus. Like now you're talking about, you need a contract, right? Mm-hmm. And you got to sign a contract to some extent, or else they're investing in. So it's like anything else, right? I'm not going to give you a signing bonus. Let's say I'm a big corporation. Let's say I'm Google or Apple, and I'm going to bring Chris Drew on to be my new marketing director. I'm not going to give him a signing bonus in this massive contract or massive salary for him to leave in 9 months. Right.
Yeah.
We're gonna have a contract in place so that
a non-compete.
But I mean, you now it's a business. Like you wasted my time and my money, right? I needed a marketing guy for the long run. You fucked with me, and 9 months later, you left, and I just lost a lot of money because I invested in you. So now I want that money back.
Exactly. Right?
I got to go reinvest in another kid. That's what this is going to become. Like, fuck you, Quinn Ewers. We just took you over any other quarterback in the country. We needed a quarterback in this class, and you decided to leave? No. I need my money back. Like we invested in you. You didn't invest in us. That's fucked up. Give me my money back.
What would you think about like with the transfer stuff, Zach, if like, say you accepted over X amount of dollars from a company for, you know, secured under your NIL. And what if that like locked you into the previous rule to where if you transfer, you have to sit out 1 year? Do you think that would be helpful at all? Or do you think that makes sense or what?
Well, it might.
If you make over $250,000, that if you decide to transfer, then you got to sit out that year instead of just being like a full portal pay to play. Because right now, I mean, there's over 3,000 football kids in the portal. Most kids won't all have homes.
There's no doubt. I mean, JB said it on the show yesterday. There's 10,000 athletes in the portal right now. 10,000 human beings that are looking for somewhere else to go. Mm-hmm. There's not going to be 10,000 spots. Like, we all know that, right? There's going to be people that get lost in cyberspace and are stuck in the portal for the rest of their life. And then they'll tell their kids about how they went in the portal and it was a huge mistake. Like, there's going to be that storyline coming up, right? Like,
the portal going to be the new, I blew my knee out or I would have went pro?
I mean, yeah, honestly, in 10 years, there's going to be some little 8-year-old that has to listen to his daddy say, well, I went in the portal and, my coach didn't help me, and they're going to have some story, right? Like, I got hurt and that's why I didn't make it the NFL. That's going to be the new story. Like, I went in the portal and, it's going to be. Here's the story. I'll give it to you right now. Ready? Yeah, man. So I went to Ohio State and the coach didn't like me. So I jumped in the portal. I was going to transfer somewhere. Texas told me I was going to start. Oklahoma told me I was going to start. But then my coaches at Ohio State, man, they badmouthed me. And so, ain't nobody picked me up because of them. That's going to be the new story. Why they didn't make it, right? Is they jumped in the portal. Their former coaches screwed them. And that's why they didn't make it. But they would have been the next Bo Jackson. Like, they would have been because they were that good.
The portal, a short story.
Right.
That's literally it. That's literally the new, I blew my knee out. I cannot wait to see the excuses on that. The portal's become more and more dangerous with the NIL stuff. And really, there's no perfect way to do it. But fuck, there's a better way than how it's being done right now. Zach, I do
however want to move. The NCAA does something, there's always a better way. That's just a guarantee in life.
Always 10 better ways. That's just generally,
no doubt.
You're right how it goes.
All right, but Chris, it is Friday. Let's get to this mailbag. Let's get to these questions. Got a lot of questions. We're going to do some more probably on our Twitter spaces this afternoon around 3 o'clock. But let's get to some questions. What do you got for me?
So here we go. So Go Gators 15. Thank you for the review. Wants to know, which one of the new hires do you think would you pick to win a national title first? I mean, obviously you got BV, you got Brian Kelly, kind of waiting on the whole Oregon thing. But this one, this one's a tough one. And so I want to hear where you're at on it. Who would you put money on?
Oh, if I had to put money on who's going to win national title first, it would be Lincoln Riley at USC. Now, I don't think he does. I don't know that any of them will. I mean, LSU is the only school that has won one in, the last 21 years.
Right.
I guess that's not true. Miami won one in what, 2001? So 20 years ago. So I really think Lincoln Riley. I mean, here's why. Because that landscape, the situation he's walking into at USC is vastly different than any of these other ones. Like, Brian Kelly goes to LSU, he's got to deal with Nick Saban every fucking year. And then he's got to beat Kirby Smart to make it out of the SEC championship.
And Billy Napier. I think that's going to be a tough out.
Yeah. Well. I think Billy Napier's a great hire, and he's making a lot of
Corey Raymond.
Yeah. He brought in Corey Raymond. He's making a lot of good moves. The odds-on favorite to me would be Lincoln Riley because it's a sexy hire. It's already helping in recruiting, and he's going to build a monster recruiting machine there. And he will compete with no one to recruit the West Coast. Now, I say that everyone's going to nationally recruit, but as far as a regional team, he will have first pick at the Southern California kids, and just have to fend off some long-distance foes, battles, right? The Clemsons, Alabamas, Ohio States for the top tier guys. But other than that, he's going to have his pick. So that's one. Then he's battling the Pac-12, which is just an average conference. He's going to have to beat Utah every year. And Oregon, who knows? If Chip Kelly goes back to Oregon, then maybe that becomes a thing again. But I think Lincoln Riley won. And then I'm split between Brian Kelly and Mario Cristobal, mainly because I think Mario Cristobal has the shtick to bring Miami back to relevancy. I really do. I think he's a phenomenal football coach. He's a toughness coach. He's an O-line guy. Like, he, on top of that, he's got that Cuban swagger. You know what I mean? Like, he just has something to him that I like. Billy Napier is obviously an unknown. I think he's a really good football coach, but man, you talk about
tough.
Uninspiring, though. Uninspiring in his press conference. I'm sitting there like falling asleep listening to him talk. Which, whatever, you don't have to entertain me or get me fired up. That's not your job. But Brian Kelly, I'm just going to hold my opinions on to see his staff and see how he does a little bit in recruiting. Obviously, that phoniness that came out with the my family. I'm kind of out on him, and I never was really in on him, but I'm kind of out on him because players see that shit. And if that's how he's going to run a team, I don't see how they're successful, especially down south. It's so different. Like, and people don't realize that the culture I don't know the culture, but the type of kid you have in the SEC is different than the type of kid you have in the Midwest, even if you recruit the same areas. And let me tell you why. Because the kid in South Florida that's going to elect to go to Ohio State over Alabama and LSU is a different type of kid than the kid that stays down south. Yeah. So even when you have Southern kids or Texas kids or California kids, the ones that choose Ohio State are more like Midwest kids than they are like Southern kids, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. No, it does make sense.
So he's walking into a different fucking world, and I don't even know if he's aware of it. Like, it's like you talk about sharks in the water. Those motherfuckers are going to see him and be like, this motherfucker here, new. That's a no for me, dog.
And he may have lost his best recruiter in Corey Raymond opting to go to Florida.
He brought in Frank Wilson. Frank Wilson's a fucking dog.
Yeah,
he's a dude in recruiting. So,
well, that's a plus. But I would go Lincoln Riley as well, and I would go Lincoln Riley for the sole reason, Mario Cristobal. I mean, with him out of town, the coach that's going to have the most shots to be undefeated, the most shots to go to the College Football Playoff, is going to be Lincoln Riley's USC team. Now, if Chip does indeed go back to Oregon, that could be cool. I mean, Chip was using NILs before NIL was legal over there at Oregon, and now that it's legal, I mean, I think he can do some really cool stuff over there. And obviously, like he's a legacy guy. But with that being said, Lincoln Riley ran from the SEC, and he's going to have the most chances. And a couple of these years, man, the SEC is going to cannibalize themselves, and you can see, you know, two Big Ten teams. You know, a USC team in there as well. I'm waiting to see on Brent BV in his nose, see if he can sniff a title appearance, but I do not know. I do want to get to the next question, Zach, got from Jay Monty. Can Cincy really go toe-to-toe with Bama, and what would it take for them to win?
They got to contain Bryce Young, keep him in the pocket, and they got to stop Jameson Williams. I mean, the award show just told me they have the best corner in the country, so they should have a better chance than anyone, right? If the award shows matter, they should have a better chance than anyone. I think the Alabama defense is absolutely beatable. I think they're just above average at corner. Not great, not average either, not bad, but I think that Desmond Ridder has a chance to really do some things, because the Alabama rush defense isn't as stout as usual, and I think their corners are sus. Their safeties are legit, though. Best safety combo in the country. So, yeah, I think Cincinnati can do it, but they gotta have an answer for Jameson Williams, and they got to keep Bryce Young in the pocket. Simple as that. If they let him run around and they let Jameson get loose, it's over. I mean, it's not even going to be a game. But I have a lot of faith in Luke Fickell and his defensive mind to put together a solid-ass plan. I don't know if you're ever going to stop Jameson Williams, because he's the best receiver in college football, by the way. But I think you can make sure he doesn't kill you, right? He might stab you. He might hurt you, but just make sure he doesn't kill you.
Yeah. Would that be the greatest upset in college football history?
I mean, no. Cincinnati's undefeated. They were undefeated last year until they lost the bowl game. So, no, it wouldn't be the biggest upset in college football history. Now, they will act like it because of the talking Times. Heads in sports media. I mean, ESPN is essentially, I mean, Alabama's their cash cow. So, yeah, they will act like it is. But App State beating Michigan was probably the biggest upset in the history of college football. I mean, that was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. And not to mention that 0-2 Ohio State team beating Miami was considered a mammoth of an upset as well.
Yeah, there's been some huge upsets. And it's tough to say that an undefeated team beating a one-loss team is the biggest upset in college football history. But I get it. As far as talent, I mean, you take recruiting rankings and, yeah, absolutely it is. Mm-hmm. But I think they can. I think Cincinnati can go toe-to-toe.
Mm-hmm. This one is a question I can't wait to hear from you about. Derek W., he wants to know, I shortened it a little bit, but after recruiting guys like Jameson Williams, you know, Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave, if you were still in coaching, do you think your stock would be, how high would your stock be right now as a wide receivers coach?
I don't know. I mean, it's like anything else. What have you done for me lately, right? That's all people care about. So right now, you know, it's just one of those things that as I built my room, I just knew it. And go figure, you talk about, I mean, obviously everything's worked out, and I'm really glad that the things that happened, but that was really like, I finally had my room exactly how I wanted it culturally, the talent that I was bringing in. I mean, the year I got fired like a week and a half before training camp started. And my room was about to have three captains: Paris Campbell, Terry McLaurin, Johnny Dixon, Austin Mack, Ben Victor, KJ Hill. And then I was bringing in Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Jameson Williams. Like, I fucking, it was just like, it was, I did it. It was like the level of accomplishment I felt about the transformation from 2012, where the best receiver on the team had 14 fucking catches the year before, and it was a complete clown show train wreck. You know, that transformation from 2012 to 2018, that 6-year process was, I mean, it was a grind, and I finally got it where I believed Ohio State should be, and that's the best receiver room in the United States of America. And I actually probably, it was second best to Alabama, but it's the best now with what Hartline's done after I brought in those three. He's brought in some more talent. But so I don't know how, you know, who knows how high my stock would be. If Urban was still the head coach, it wouldn't be very high. I mean, he loved to be a fucking douche and try to kill any momentum that I ever had, just because he had this, I don't know, it's not disdain, but I was the young coach, I was his GA. I coached the same position he coached. And there's always just that I don't want to say level of disrespect, but there's not a lot of acknowledgement for a job well done. Like, right. I can count on maybe one hand the number of times that man ever said that I did a good job at anything. I think I told you the story, Chris, on the show before, when I got paid half as much as everyone else when I got to Ohio State, really my first 3 years. And then when he finally bumped me up, I was always the lowest paid assistant, even though I was not the least valuable assistant on the staff. But when he finally gave me a raise, he brought me into his office and his storyline was, hey, I don't necessarily agree with this, but Gene, for public image purposes, really wants to bump your salary up. Gene Smith, the AD. And he was like, so he wants me to put you at, you know, whatever, $250,000 or $300,000. And I was like, oh, okay. And he's like, I honestly don't want to, but he's kind of forcing my hand on this. I'm like, oh man, fucking awesome. Thanks, boss. Good job, man. Thanks for the fucking vote of confidence, you douchebag. But so I kind of got off on a tangent there. I don't know how high my stock would be. If Ryan Day was the head coach, I think it'd be probably really high. Because,
all right, well, let me stop you right there, because I you're being humble and you're being respectful out of respect for Heartline, because we established the love you have for Ohio State. Let me tell you to chill the fuck out, Zach. As a recruiting guy, as one of these nuts that, you know, is all in it and really in it, I honestly think your stock would be at an all-time high right now if you were still in coaching, and here's why. Before that room transformed and to be one of the honestly the best in America, you already had a job offer from Alabama and Nick Saban. That's just point blank period, you know, trying to get it that way. So right now, I think if you were still there, you would be the hottest name. There would be messages on message boards talking about chatter about him leaving, about them begging you to get bumped up, because the simple fact of the matter is you were a good wide receiver developer and you are a really good recruiter and you just kept improving. I mean, what Michael Thomas Wynn did in the league and then becoming the highest paid receiver in football, what Terry McLaurin's done, what those captains have done, and then kind of having Chris Olave there and having the breakout game. Zach, all eyes would have been on you. You would have been the hot name. You probably would have been asked to be a passing game coordinator at somewhere when someone went to go take a job, because I've seen how coaches rise to the rankings. And you would have been that. I mean, that's simply how it would have been. The same way Brian Hartline, I'm sure, gets asked all the time about schools. The same way I'm sure Marcus Freeman asked him to come be the passing game coordinator there. That would have been essentially you. Now, even if you weren't quite the developer that Brian Hartline is, what I'm not saying is or isn't, I'm just saying, you know, people listening are going to say, well, Brian Hartline this, well, Brian Hartline that. No. You're still him. And so you still would have had a lot of that. And kind of in the next, you know, in the next 3 years, you sent me the stat about Ohio State not having any receivers, you know, drafted in the first however many picks of the first round since whatever year, and Bama having six. Well, in 2 years, we might catch Bama in that department. And if you were still driving the helm, your stock, I don't know if it would get much higher. You're definitely on the way up. So I didn't love your
fun
answer
to talk
there.
About, but it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I didn't love your answer, but I just wanted to grab it and go. Now, next question. It's another coaching question. If you could be a head coach of any job in America, what job would you choose?
Well, no, that's tough. Key West High School, probably. Maybe Hawaii. That sounds like a good job. I don't know. I mean, it's a tough question. I mean, if we're talking about big picture, like everything included.
I don't know what Lincoln got for that USC job. That kind of seems like a spot for me. I cannot even.
Yeah,
lie.
No, that's what I mean. And I was going to say that. I was going to say USC, but I'm out. I'm out on living in California. I'm not living under the fucking governor. I'm not living in LA with the traffic. Like, no chance. You can count me out on that one. That one struck off the list immediately. Unless you got me a helicopter and said I don't have to follow the governor's laws, I'm not going. Not a chance in hell. I honestly, this is this is fucked up, but I think Miami.
Really?
I really do. Like Fort Lauderdale, South Beach. I just know what I could do there in recruiting. Like it would be gross. It would be obscene. The type of talent that I know I could get and keep in South Florida. The ACC is awful right now. I mean, you talk about, you're 1 year away. You get a quarterback and give me 1 year to recruit players and develop some players. Year two, I'm competing for the ACC championship game against Pitt, right? I got to beat Pitt. That's, and I'm in South fucking Florida. I really think it is. I mean, now the other side of that is you don't have the fan support. You don't. It's not a monster like Ohio State, but I don't know. I guess if you'd asked me this in July, I would say Ohio State, but it's fucking cold outside. I'm looking out my studio right now, and it looks like I would die if I went out there without a shirt on from frostbite. So I'm kind of in a somber winter mood right now. So I'm going to go South Beach in Miami. But if you ask me in July, it's Ohio State, I'm sure.
I think Miami's a good answer there. Additionally, with Miami, you know, if you lose three games, they're not calling for you to get fired. I think that's an important thing as well because
it's all the standard you set, right? If Urban Meyer went to Miami, Nick Saban went to Miami right now and went on an 8-year run and then resigned or retired, right? And the next guy they brought in, bullshit. That guy's expectations, national championships, and one loss at most, and it better be to a great team in the ACC championship game. Mm-hmm. The expectations are developed by success. That's what they are. I mean, if Ohio State goes on a bad run, like just look at Michigan right now, right? If Michigan loses in the semifinal right now, every Michigan fan will be like, what a fucking year, man. We can parlay this. We're gonna have another great year next year. If that was Ohio State, people would be bitching about Ryan lost another one, right? It's expectations are set by success, right? And the lack thereof success lowers expectations. So then when you do succeed a little bit, people like jerk off to it.
I think you're right. You told us a couple shows ago that nobody wants to be the coach to follow a Nick Saban type. No. So with Chip Kelly potentially taking the Oregon job, do you think now's the perfect time to bring Fry on board with kind of the lack of improvement we see from Stud's unit?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that there's a perfect time. I mean, Justin Fry would leave UCLA and leave Oregon for Ohio State, so it doesn't matter when it is. Unless Chip just gives him some insane contract and salary that Ryan doesn't want to match, right? Or like that's just the reality of it. Because Justin Fry comes to Ohio State as the O-line coach, coordinator, whatever. Even if he's just a run game coordinator, co-OC, or whatever it is,
yeah.
He's at Ohio State for 3 years. He's going to be talked about for big-time head coaching jobs. That's not going to be the case if he's at Oregon with Chip Kelly. It's just not. So for a career move, like it doesn't matter when. Justin Fry will take that job, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know when the perfect time is. I guess the perfect time would be the day after the Rose Bowl, whatever day that is, and wherever Justin Fry is working, employed or not employed, that would be the time to do it. I do think that will happen.
And I do want to piggyback that into my very last question. There was a question about can Ryan Day call the plays for this to be a national title team? And the point was that teams that win national titles very rarely, if ever, have the head coach calling plays because that's a lot on one person's plate. Would you have Ryan Day call the plays in the future, or do you think that there's a better option than that, just given the workload of Ryan Day already?
Yeah, I mean, if Ryan Day has a D coordinator that's worth a shit, it's all about value, right? What is the head coach's value? If Urban Meyer called plays, Ohio State would have lost 5 games a year because he's not a great play caller or great schematic football coach. Ryan Day is the best I've ever been around. So would it benefit Ohio State more to have Ryan Day not call plays and someone that's not as good as Ryan call plays, right? So that he can focus more on the culture of the team and the defense? No, that's not the answer. The answer is get a guy like Mickey Marotti handles the culture. Ryan's obviously in charge of it, but that's Mickey's deal, right? The culture of the team, the toughness of the team. The only piece that was missing this year was the defensive piece, right? He doesn't have an elite defensive coordinator to run that piece.
A head coach on defense is what they need.
That's what you need. And Urban needed that too. I mean, Urban didn't get involved with the defense. He needed Chris Ash to win a national championship and Luke Fickell. He needed those strong coordinators to run that show. Yes, I think Ohio State can win a championship with Ryan Day calling plays because Ryan Day is one of the best in the country at doing that. And to not have him doing that would be dumb, right? It would be like why what Ryan is strongest at, Let's not let him do that because he's in charge of more. No, no, no. He just needs to hire the right people and delegate the right, you know, the things that he's not going to have time to do. He needs to delegate to very high level people that get their job done to do those roles. And then Ryan can focus on what he's best at, developing a quarterback and calling plays. Because I don't know much, but those are two of the most important things that a football team does, right? What plays are called, when they're called, and are they good plays? And do you have a legit quarterback? And the next part is a defense, and they didn't have that. So they need to get that with old Jimmy Knowles.
All right. Well, that's all I got, Zach. You killed it. There are more questions that I've sent you that I think we're going to focus on during the spaces later today. So turn that bell notification on Twitter at Menace to Sports, and we will be in there like swimwear hanging out with you guys. So just, stay tuned.
Sounds good. Appreciate you, Chris. Menace out.
Yep, Menace out.